Today, we are kicking off a series of conversations with community leaders on important topics of the moment. First up, recent campaigns from Dior, Barbie, and Cadbury, among others, have led to backlash for what many see as cultural appropriation. A Dia de los Muertos Barbie was released to the market. Cadbury unveiled a Unity bar made of four variations of chocolate, each segregated by color. And perhaps the most highly criticized, Dior embarked on a questionable marketing campaign for a fragrance it dubbed Sauvage. That campaign featured Native American imagery centered around actor Johnny Depp, choices the company defended by explaining it had consulted with the nonprofit Americans for Indian Opportunity. Arizona designer Lauren Aragon and Iya Afo, a spiritual leader and historic trauma expert, joined us to talk about why these campaigns continue to be so painful for communities. But the fact is, these issues keep coming up. So I wanted to start with the obvious first question. How is this still happening? And in much the same way, over and over again.
I'm still like, really? Not again. This might always my reaction when I see something pop up like this again. And it's still difficult to really try to grasp why designers or just anyone outside of the Native American community continues to try to implement these things that, I guess, try to project what they believe the Native American culture is. And what hurts is that there's really no true representation by Native American communities to do that. And that's just talking Native American communities. And there's obviously other things, other communities, other cultures that are misappropriated, misrepresented. And I always ask myself, you know, where are the Native American authorities or people that are in this community or in these industries to speak to this, to say something to this? In the fashion world, it's me. I mean, I'm the fashion designer. I need to be that person to be responsible to say something to that, or at least educate people more about why this is wrong, why we always have an argument about this as not being correct, or how we're misused or misrepresented. And really, I think Native American community and us as Native designers, and there's quite a few of us, we need to step up and start to educate people and tell people why these things are not right and show what we can show and be more open to discuss those things and share our ideas. And we need to be more respectful of that ourselves and tell people why we need to be.
And so that's a lot of what you do in your work, Lauren, is pushing back against this kind of thing by being the person to do it yourself.
Yes.
Iya, what's your reaction?
You know, I feel like I'm still at a place where I'm hopeful that education changes people's behavior. I just think people don't get it. I don't always feel like it's about hate or it's about intentional disrespect. I feel like we just have to keep educating and talking about it so that people understand what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and why it's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. The other part of it, I think, is those of us that are indigenous, and I use the word indigenous in terms of Native American, African American, you know, somebody that is indigenous to a specific land. Mm-hmm. So those of us that are indigenous are so hungry to have opportunity and so hungry to finally be included in something that we're often willing to overlook things that are disrespectful and that don't fit with what we should be doing moving forward.
Hmm. Companies or their defenders often will say, like, you know, well, so-and-so said this was okay, so I thought, like, it was okay, right? Like, and this happened in this Dior example, right?
Right.
The cologne campaign was created in partnership with Americans for Indian Opportunity, this
right.
group. Is that enough? Is that anything?
So for this situation, I think it's multi-layered. I think, number one, Johnny Depp has a personal relationship with the person that's the head of that organization. Number two, I believe that as indigenous people, because we have not been included, because we have not had opportunity, the smallest chance for opportunity, we're running and grabbing at it because we want to be included. We want to have a chance to do it. So we jump in and do it. The third big piece, and for me, this is so, so major, is that when people say Native American, they have one group that they're referring to.
Right.
There are 573 nationally recognized tribes in the United States. So each one of those tribes, and then there are also tribes and people that are not recognized that are still valid. But each one of those groups have their own culture, have their own traditions, have their own languages, have their own ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. When we talk about African Americans or Africans, we're talking about a continent with 52 countries, with thousands of dialects and thousands of cultures.
Right.
So there's some of us that are very, as my very dear friend Sunbird says, there's people that are deep in the cultural pond, and there are people that are more shallow in the cultural pond. If you ask an organization or you ask a person that's part of the Native American collective or part of the African American collective, if this is okay or that is okay, if I'm a person that's shallow in the cultural pond, it might not be offensive to me.
Sure.
If I am a Native American person that's deep within the cultural pond and does things in a very traditional way that aligns with my people, it will be highly offensive to me.
Yeah. So, Lauren, let me turn to you. And it becomes really polarized really quickly, I think. And mm-hmm. I wonder, how do you explain this to people who say, you know, well, I wasn't offended by this, or it seems fine to me, or they checked with whatever group, so sure. How do you explain to people what the real hurt is there?
It's really an explanation of where you come from and what these items and things that are represented in commercials and shows and movies are represent. Educating them to the extent where, from my knowledge, a lot of these items come from like the Plains Native American groups. And those things are sacred. They do have some meaning, some value. And when you put it out there like that, that just anyone can use it, then it loses its value, its cultural value, and just anybody can have a part of it. But it really, it's something that's earned.
Mm.
A lot of those things, or it's something that's handed down that, you know, it holds significance to things that we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And people just see it for its artistic value a lot of the times. And that's where it ends. I see that even in as a designer, that some people just love my designs because of the patterns that I use.
Mm-hmm.
But there's others that want to go deeper. They want to know what those things mean.
And they do mean something.
Yes, they do mean something. And they have some representation to where I come from, and they tell a story, and that's my connection to my work. And again, that's somebody's connection to their culture when you do that. And so it definitely needs to be expressed more. It definitely needs to be shown why those things aren't just to be used. But I think that the other things that kind of really put things in a negative light are over-sexualizing models with Native American regalia.
Mm.
The ultimate example is it's always the headdress in a scantily clad woman in bikini. We see these at
Victoria's
concert
Secret
shows.
Fashion show,
yes,
right? Yeah.
Those type of things. So it's absolutely not meant for that.
Yeah, you study trauma, right? And I wonder how that plays into this conversation in your mind.
I think part of the issue also is that in the United States, and in dominant culture, we separate culture from religion.
Mm.
We have the separation of church and state. In indigenous culture, you cannot separate religion and culture, spirituality and culture. They're one and of the same. So when you have that headdress, every feather is chosen for a reason. The color of the feathers have a significance. In any regalia, the fabric that's used to create that particular item has a reason. It might be cotton for one reason. It might be cashmere for another reason. There are things that are sewn into it. There are things that it's soaked in. There are herbs that are used with it. So each one of these pieces is a part of the whole. So you can't easily separate, oh, this looks so cool, I want to wear it.
Right.
When this is somebody's culture, spirituality, deep meaning. It's like consecrating the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same type of thing, but people don't quite understand that there's significance to each nuance that's put into the regalia, that's put into ceremony, to ritual.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to trauma, we talk about historical trauma, collective trauma, intergenerational trauma. And we're not talking about current racism. We're not talking about oppression. We're talking about a reaction to something that's happened to a group of people. Trauma is passed from one generation to the next through the physical DNA, mm-hmm. number one. And number two, we have what happens environmentally as a result of those previous trauma, right? So what the science and the research shows us is through reconnecting to culture, you help to mitigate the damage of historical trauma that's happened to the collective. So we need these things like the clothing that Lauren designs. We need things like our ceremony, our ritual, our sacred dance that gets depicted in these videos as entertainment. That helps us to heal from what's happened.
So this is really actually hopeful in a way, right? That there are ways in which,
yes.
and what Lauren is doing, right, is right. a way of healing, it sounds like.
Yes.
So then my question becomes, in light of this sort of, you know, marketing and consumer-driven world that we live in and the effort by lots of these companies to become more diverse in this way, what are the right ways to do this?
One of the ways I always try to promote is more involvement by Native American communities to be a part of this or have the people that are outside the communities to connect with the culture. Have some representation. Work with the artists there is one great step to start making this better. I think the AIO really missed the mark in trying to help, and they even admitted it. They didn't talk with the PRs with Dior on what this was going to entail, all the details that were going to go into this commercial, and everything that is kind of a negative mark needs to be evaluated. And the first thing that I noticed was the use of the word savage. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that just continues to dehumanize Native American culture, indigenous culture. When that word was used, it was used negatively against us, and it still is. So even things like that, the word usage, the images that are used, the use in the commercial, the use of the dancer and the woman, it was so cliche. And we need to get away from that. And I think that's, the world thinks that that's all Native American culture is. And everybody just sees that right away, and they think that we're all the same. So when you hear indigenous or Native American, everybody already thinks that it's just another dancer with feathers and fringe, and we need to break away from that. And part of what I do is trying to show people that the Pueblo of Acoma, where I'm from, is a totally different culture. This is another thing that just kind of inspires me to do more with what I do and be more representative of Native American culture more respectively, and really not to just try to have me represent all of Native America, saying that I am just a part of the Native American culture and there's so much more. You know, I'm just a little cracking the fashion culture, and this is just a part of what I show. There's many other designers that have other things, and we all tie our culture somehow. Mm.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that this is about the voices involved in the actual making of the art, of the design, of the expression, of the doll, whatever it might be.
Right.
It's about actual representation.
I think Spielberg did a great thing when he made the Amistad film. I remember hearing that every single person on set that were putting African actors in chains was also an African person. Hmm. That's a start. So you had the sensitivity to understand, that gives me chills even when I talk about it, you know? Hmm. You had the sensitivity to understand that this is potentially a trauma-causing incident. Us making this film is potentially traumatic. I want to show this because it's important that I'm telling the truth about a story, or I'm trying to tell a story in the best way that I can. And I want to tell that story because that also helps society, is when we tell the story. But I'm going to be sensitive and I'm going to think about the details before I execute my telling of the story. Mm-hmm. Reaching into the community for input, you know, as Lauren said, it's a very important thing. I work in the Gila River Indian community. If there's something that I feel like I want to do in the community to help the community, I don't just go around and make decisions and go and do something. I'm consulting. You know, there's people that I know that are leaders in the community. There are elders in the community. There's council in the community. So it's not just an outside organization that is also associated with finance and money and, you know, all these other things. They're community members. If I go to the community and the elders say, no, that's not something we want, or that's not something we need, or that's disrespectful, then it's over. I walk away from the table. Yeah. So, you know, it's that simple, really. You know?
It is actually simple when you put it like that.
Yeah.
All right. Ia Afo, Lauren Aragon, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.